With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Zach Gelb in for A-Law right here on CBS Sports Radio. The NBA postseason did get underway this past weekend. Coming up on Monday, the Sixers look to tie things up at one apiece with the Nets at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, the Warriors look to take a 2-0 lead up against the Clippers. We'll head out to the hotline right now and welcome in a Nets radio analyst, and that's Tim Capshaw, who's kind enough to give us a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Tim, thanks for the time as always, and how are you?
I'm doing great, Zach. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate you making a few minutes. That was a very nice game on Saturday for the Nets. They go to Philadelphia. They win game one. Three-pointers were 11-3 in favor of Brooklyn. The Nets hold Harris, Simmons, and J.J. Redick to 18 points. And then six Nets do get into double figures. What did stand out to you the most in the game one upset that the Nets were able to pull off?
Well, clearly the biggest storyline going into the game was going to be the health of Joel Embiid. So you wanted to watch him the moment they came out in warm-ups. You wanted to see what Embiid looked like. Was he going to be mobile? You can't really tell in warm-ups, but that was clearly going to be the biggest key. What you did notice early in the game was he was able to make some plays, actually got to the free throw line and do some things, but then he began to, you could see him laboring a little bit, his knee was a problem. He was settling. He's trying to shoot threes. All his threes were short. That's usually an indication of leg problems, and he wasn't, and then you saw after about 4 minutes that they better take him out, because not only is his knee affected, but his inability to play that many minutes or be involved with the team much over the last few weeks really hurt his conditioning. So that was the enormous story, I thought, of the game that would maybe, I don't know, obviously it would impact the game immensely, because he has been a dominant, flat-out dominant player against the Nets all season.
And health's been a problem for the Sixers with this lineup. I've only been able to play 10 games at full strength in the regular season, and they were 8-2, but it's been tough to keep these guys on the court. And with Embiid, it was all bizarre. And I know this happened before, but he was ruled doubtful. Many people thinking he wasn't going to play, and then the next thing you know, he plays, and yeah, I agree with you. He didn't look 110%. He clearly wasn't in the best of shape. He still got you 22-15, but that's because of his talent. But that was bizarre how he went from doubtful to then all of a sudden he was in the starting lineup.
Yeah, but it's almost like, NFL or anything like that. You can't, I think Kenny Atkinson and the Brooklyn Nets staff thought the entire time, they were planning on, there's no doubt he's probably going to play. And then you go to plan B in case he doesn't. But, he was out there. He gave it a shot, but it's serious. His injury is legitimate. It's an issue. I have no idea how he'll be feeling tomorrow night. And what happened was that you said it. This group has only played 10 games together, and it's an outstanding group of talent that they put out there in their starting five. But first of all, they hadn't played that many games together. Then with him going out after planning on him being in, they were not a cohesive group, and it was evident. And then the Nets were playing with pretty good confidence after the first, about 8 or 9 minutes. I thought both teams were pretty rusty to start, not that sharp. You could see some nerves. Nets were bailed out because Joe Harris had made three threes. But aside from that, their offense wasn't clicking. D'Angelo Russell was struggling at that time. He was 0 for 6 early in the game. But then there was a timeout with about 2:23 left on the clock in the first quarter. The Nets were down three. Kenny Atkinson called a timeout. Out of the timeout, he ran a play, got LeVert fouled. And then the Nets went on a 12-0 run to end the quarter. They played with great confidence. LeVert was going. Damari Carroll made some. Everybody was making plays. Ended up being a 20-1 run. So I really thought that that timeout by Kenny Atkinson, and I've been saying it all year long, it's not only the play he has coming out of the timeouts, but the runs they tend to go on out of these timeouts are have been of enormous proportions, certainly lately. And it really, Nets never looked back after that one timeout.
We know what this Nets job was 3 years ago. No one wanted to really touch it, and you're close to the situation. The job Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson have done is remarkable, that this team is in the postseason and they're up 1-0. It's a fun story and an easy one to root for. And the way they've built this team, Tim, you know, tell our audience about it, because it's unconventional, but it's really cool to see this group be in the playoffs.
No, I know. Well, when they took over, right, they didn't have draft picks for the first 2 years, but they created draft picks by trading a player, and Bojan Bogdanovic, who's turned into a good player, and Thaddeus Young, who's turned into a good player. Two good players for the Pacers they traded for, but they understood, Sean Marks very, very intelligently understood, we're at a different stage right now. We need to get draft picks. We need to kind of start over. We need to groom. So the fact that they didn't have draft picks, but then created draft picks, and then not only did that, but they have picks, I think the 20th pick, they got LeVert, Caris LeVert, who had 23 last night. Jared Allen, it was another pick who has had a very good year. He's only just turned 21 years old. He didn't have a particularly good game against Philadelphia the other day, but he has had a very good season, will be a very good player. So their ability to kind of get those two draft picks going, find players like Spencer Dinwiddie in the draft, make a draft, a trade decision with Brooke Lopez out to the Los Angeles Lakers to bring back a D'Angelo Russell, understanding that he had a staff made up of tremendous, especially Kenny Atkinson, but his staff, the entire staff, are so dedicated to the development of players and improvement, whether it be with all their basketball skills, but even with diet, nutrition, you know, in the performance team. And they had really changed players over in the last couple of years. It has been shocking how they've been able to find, but another one, Joe Harris, who was basically out of the league. They basically found players and then made them an awful lot better. It is really a team to root for. And, you know, in every essence of the word team is what they have right there, because those guys are important. But then they have key veterans that play out there. And it is as close. I've been around the team working in this job as the color analyst for 17 years. I had never seen a more cohesive group. And that has to do with certainly the character that general manager and all the scouts have gone after, but also the culture and just the environment that Kenny Atkinson has, and just the quality of these people. It is really, you said it, they're an easy, easy team to root for.
Tim Capshaw here with us on CBS Sports Radio, Nets radio analyst. When we talk about free agent destinations, people are talking about the Clippers. People are talking about the Knicks. You hear the Lakers, of course, with the LeBron element. How attractive are the Nets as a free agent destination for a big free agent player?
No, obviously, I'm going to, based on just how we've been talking, no doubt that it would. I think if you're a free agent, you're looking at a situation, you're saying to yourself, okay, are they good enough? Are they pretty good right now? And what will they be if I am in the mix? And I think, I think the Brooklyn Nets check those boxes pretty well. I mean, really well. The fact that I think getting into the playoffs and now winning, and then people again are, I think all year though, people were reminded that, hey, the Nets have won now 42 games with a very young team. Very upbeat, energetic coach. You play a really fun style, cool environment in Brooklyn. Top of the league as far as facilities and stuff like that. So I don't know. You never know what guys are thinking, but you know, you also, Brooklyn would be a very, very, very good place for a guy to be. And yet I think the Nets want to make sure, and you see this around the league right now, that, you know, you got to make sure you get the right guys too. Just having a free agent or just having guys isn't necessarily the answer. I think I think, you know, if you could get one or two, that make the difference, but you still want to build within. You still want to keep improving the players you got, still developing it. The younger players, you know, grow through the draft, and that's kind of, that's really the best way to do it. But if you're thinking about a free agent right now or two, Brooklyn would be a very, very good spot. I think you could go from good. You want to be able to go from good to great. And right now I think the Nets are pretty darn good, and they have a chance to be great.
How do you analyze the game of Ben Simmons right now, Tim?
Oh, I think he's hard to compare anybody to. You know, it's different. It's he can at times be such a handful because he's in such a matchup problem for certain guys. When he gets in the open floor and he can get power in it to the basket and he can be making plays, he's unique. I think he's such a unique player that you got to really use him the right way. That you can post him up. He's a problem. He's an elite passer. Obviously, not a shooter. I'll tell you what he is, though. He can really defend. So I think there are, you know, he's a unique guy to, you know, to scout, because he has looked very, you know, up front and in person, he looks dominating because he's 6'10 at times. But last, you know, I got to admit, and I'm sure he would say it, he was not very good yesterday at all. And again, a lot of his things happen sometimes because Embiid's on the floor. Embiid sometimes facilitates. He's a very good high-low passer, believe it or not. He enters the ball oftentimes to Ben Simmons from the top of the key or the three-point line. Unique player, talented, and yet you're wondering, you know, it was strange yesterday on Zach when he goes to the free throw line. You know, he psychologically is having problems making free throws. And then the crowd started getting on him. I'm saying, wow, that can't be easy. And this is on his home court, you know.
And he didn't like it. After the game, he was annoyed, which, hey, you're never going to win a battle up against fans. And, hey, the Philly fans, you know this. They'll cheer you when you're playing well, and they'll tell you the greatest thing ever. But when you don't play well, they're going to say you got to pick up the level. I didn't have a problem with it, but it definitely got in his head the other day.
Yeah, it got in his head. It was pretty – I tell you what, talk about, you know, when you're an opposing team, you want to take the crowd out of the game. You know, you go in and you want to go to an environment. That's usually a good coach's phrase, right? We're going to go in, let's take the crowd out of the game as if we're playing well. The Nets didn't just take the crowd out of the game. They got the crowd to go against their own team.
Interesting.
It was interesting, but you can understand from the Sixers' standpoint, they've got a pretty good team, but they haven't played that often together, and this is challenging. Now, they are capable of putting this thing all together, and I liked how Kenny Atkinson, talked after the game. He was humble. He was like, listen, we won one game. They lost to Miami last year in their first game also. They can come back. I think I love the way Kenny Atkinson handles success with the Brooklyn Nets. He never gets very humble. And I think that was the right way to approach it as far as a victory yesterday.
Yeah, because you know how this works. I know the Raptors and the Sixers lost game one. I still expect them both, though, to win their series. We'll see. Celtics and Milwaukee, they both get victories in their round one games as well. When we take a look at the Eastern Conference, you know, who's the team that you kind of look at? It's been a little bit unclear because of the fact that LeBron's no longer there and who's going to get to the final. Give me a little feel on how you see this thing going down in the East.
I think Milwaukee's the best team.
I agree.
I think they're capable of, like, I didn't see the five final, but I know they're pretty big today on Detroit. They can crush you. That's the problem with them. They will hurt you because Giannis will attack you, and then they will bombard you with threes. And they compete defensively. They're the one team.
And how about Brook Lopez, Tim? This guy couldn't hit a three when he was at the Nets, never took any threes. Now he has more threes than Kevin Durant. It's unreal.
Unbelievable. What a transformation. Now, he did, though, his last year with Kenny Atkinson. And we'd always seen him practicing it and wanting to be. But, you know, the analytics of everything never really took really great. Maybe the last 4 or 5 years. And it's right when Kenny Atkinson started coming into the Nets. And he said, Brook, get out there and let it fly. So he did shoot a decent amount with the Nets. But now it's ridiculous. And he doesn't just shoot him, Zach, from the three-point line. He goes about 4 or 5 feet out. Now, think about what that does. Not only does that obviously he can shoot. He shoots about 36-37%. He shoots them long, but think about the gravity he provides for the opposing big men to get them out of the lane right now. So then Giannis can just drive the ball effortlessly. Then when other extra people attack, he kicks it to them. They have a beautiful offensive set. But that was a great call by you, because I think one of the really good pieces to a puzzle that was picked up this year was probably the best in the league for the amount of money and what they needed was Brook Lopez on the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm looking at the numbers right now. First 8 years in the league, he made 3 3-pointers, then a buck 34, like you said, with that last year at Kenny Atkinson, then 112 and 187. It's unreal. Last one for Tim Capshaw. I got about a minute left. How do you break down what's going on in L.A.? Magic Johnson out, LeBron James, they didn't make the playoffs this year, and we'll see what they do in free agency, whether it's the trade market or trying to bring players in by signing them. What do you think about the direction of the Lakers?
Well, you know, I'm certainly not that in touch with it. I think any team, though, that has LeBron James in the middle of it right now, even though he's gotten a little bit older, I think he's got a comeback in him right now. I think he's gonna get rejuiced, not being a part of the playoffs right now, not having it go particularly well. I think they will be better. Will they be of the ability to challenge for a championship? I don't know, but I think his leadership, his talent will attract some players. And then you got to get with LeBron, though. You have to surround him with shooting. You got to make sure. I think that was a mistake they didn't do this year. They put players out on the floor, but not. We just talked about Brook Lopez being the perfect puzzle piece for the Milwaukee Bucks because that made it fit. Now, the players that were with LeBron, and granted, there were injuries and all that, they didn't fit the puzzle the same way. There are people that were, you know, people that didn't attract people, couldn't shoot the three-point shot as consistently. Think about all those Cleveland teams and the Kyle Korvers of the world that used to hang out with them and James Johnson and just let it fly. Again, not only do they shoot threes because he passes it to them, but they attract the attention for him to drive the ball. So I think he'll, you know, he was entitled to have a one-off year, but I have a feeling he's got a little bit more left in him, and I'm sure there'll be a player or two that wants to go play with him, another good player. But again, I think it's the supporting cast that will make the difference if they can really make a statement out west.
Tim, I only got 10 seconds. Just a yes or no answer. Warriors, they're going to win the championship this year.
Yes.
All right. We'll keep you to it, and I agree with you. Tim Capshaw, thank you so much. We'll do it again soon, my friend.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.